Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
TalkSTL.com, real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers 243, the holiday special.
We do one every year. This is our third one. Is that right? Third Christmas one? That sounds right.
What do we do? Oh, we did one where we talked about Christmas Carol.
Yeah, and then we did one that was like your favorite Christmas movie where we're still recording that one.
Right.
That one's still going
on. And then we did the one last year.
No, that was
year.
A Halloween.
No, we did two
we
of those.
We talked about Christmas. We did
a Christmas special that was in the vein of the Halloween
one. This
would
be our fourth one.
Yes, I think you're right. Then we did the Trace and Frank one.
Yeah.
One.
Congratulations, guys.
Thanks.
Fourth Christmas special.
We'll go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Blake.
Now, wait a minute.
Hey, what? Does that mean, did you bring Christmas salsa for everyone?
Where's Blake? I thought he was back.
Once a year, Kevin. That's how we get him.
This is Groundhog.
Yeah, right.
If he sees his shadow, we get a good Star Wars movie.
This is Kevin.
This is Tom. Dan is out because he loves his family more than we love ours.
We refuse
to miss
Christmas
a week.
Christmas
was on a Sunday,
right.
So we decided we would record early. No box office. We just get one specialty episode.
Hey, can I make just a prediction?
Please.
Let's just pretend that we knew the numbers for, you know, as of this Sunday.
Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. Oh, don't even get
Did
me
you see
started.
It?
Yes, I
How
saw
How bad was it?
How bad was it?
Yeah. Okay. Is it Mortal Now is it Mortal Kombat bad?
No. I would rather be like Alex from A Clockwork Orange and have my eyes pried open and watch Mortal Kombat for a month in a
Mortal
row.
Mortal Kombat or Mortal Kombat?
No, Mortal Kombat, not Annihilation.
Okay,
no.
Yeah, right,
but I would rather watch Mortal Kombat on loop for a week straight than have to watch Assassin's Creed one more
time. Huh?
Oh, it's awful.
Michael Fassbender swing. He was going to be in Star Wars.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know as who, but that's the...
I mean, here's the deal.
Jyn Erso.
Yes.
Force Awakens.
Jim Erso.
Jim Erso.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, the games are really good games.
Games are great.
I like the games. Michael Fassbender is a tremendous actor. We've talked about that before. This had the potential, I think, with the cast. I mean, Marion Cotillard is in it.
Oh, she is?
She's the main female in there. Jeremy Irons is
I
in
just
it?
Think, I find, I'm almost positive she was just in a movie. She's French in real
She's
life.
She's an allied.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Isn't she the girl, chicken
She's
allied?
She's an allied, yeah.
With Brad Pitt.
I need to look and see, because I'm pretty sure she was just in a movie where the whole point of it was like to mock people that made those Hollywood paycheck movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And she was just in Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
But so it was her, Jeremy Irons, Michael Fassbender. Okay, so on paper, you've got those actors.
Jeremy Irons is like, look, I need two big paychecks. Yeah, I'll be Alfred. Yeah, I'll be in this movie. That's fine.
No, it is terrible writing. I mean, the dialogue is utterly atrocious. No, I mean, it's terribly written, and the special effects, it's just so stupid. It really, there's
That's
no other
shame.
Way to, yeah.
And I was wrong. She was not. It was Juliette Binoche.
It's close.
Who was they all look the same.
Who
all
was
time.
Also
all them Frenchies look the
also
same.
Also supposed to be in Man of Steel. She was supposed to be Lara.
Do you have just like encyclopedia knowledge of actors that were supposed to be in bad comic book movies? Like,
yeah, it's a comic book related thing. That's why I get taken
like,
to trivia nights.
How do you
nights.
Know all these people that
because
weren't
she
but
was,
might have
I,
been
I think
in...
she was original. She was cast. Like she was cast as Lara, and then she had to do Law and Order, Criminal Intent or something.
How about this little piece of trivia? Megan Fox was supposed to be Catwoman.
Thank God.
And lost Anne Hathaway.
Oh, yeah. That's, wow.
And now she's being considered for Ivy.
I know, that's awful. Evan Rachel Wood.
Apparently,
would be a fantastic
whoever in Hollywood or whatever that is runs the comic book store that she goes to, I mean, for I think this purpose, she has been ordering all these Poison Ivy comic books all of a sudden. So,
is there a Poison Ivy comic?
Well, I mean, comics featuring predominantly Poison Ivy. Like, she's starting to order all this material. So apparently, she's on the list of
2-issue miniseries. That,
I think that's probably right.
Did Neil Gaiman write it?
No, I feel like it was Paul Dini. Paul Dini wrote Gotham City Sirens.
Okay. So are we talking about Megan Fox and Margot Robbie hooking up?
I mean, that's what they're saying, is that they're going to be a couple. Like, we're so early in that rumors of Gotham City Sirens. But yeah, they're a couple. Like, that's something that was played on in the comics, and they've never let it go, which is fine. But yeah, and I think they're distancing themselves from Jared Leto. Like, that whole Joker thing is like, they're just like,
I certainly hope so. Yeah. I hope that was a joke. I hope somehow, I mean, if this series does continue with these if this iteration of all this continues, I hope somehow that was like a guy in a Halloween costume or something that isn't the real Joker.
He snuck on the set and nobody knew.
It was Jared Leto just being totally method.
Jared Leto actually was going to do like a Heath Ledger version. Then this guy walked on set and they're like, oh man, he was crazy.
I was thinking of Black Orchid.
What was that?
It was a prestige.
Oh, was it?
Book from the prestige format.
Oh.
From like the 90s.
Did he do that? Did Gaiman write it?
I'm almost positive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So.
Oh, but I'm sorry. I guess we didn't really give a real answer. So just so you know, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story is number one at the box office.
Don't you worry.
And that's the box office.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, thanks for tuning in. That's our holiday episode.
All right. Take care, guys.
Psych. What we've been doing, because it's hard to keep coming up with topics. Plus, all the topics
we blew our wad on that first one.
Well, and all the topics about Christmas are like this, like, you know, like, oh, like 5 Christmas movies you didn't realize were Christmas movies. Right. Oh, Die Hard, really?
I had no idea.
Blew my mind.
I guess, do you consider Nice Guys a Christmas movie? Set at Christmas time?
Was it?
I don't remember. Because Shane Black wrote.
No. I feel like that party they go to. Isn't it a Christmas party?
I don't remember.
But it's not a Christmas movie, right, though. That doesn't have, I don't think, the same.
It has Christmas in the background.
Yeah.
As much as, like, that's an argument I get into somebody with, where he's like, Die Hard's not a Christmas movie.
Oh, I can't stand those people.
I hear what you're saying. Your point is also invalid, but.
Yeah. Well, I do speak English like you do, so I understand these words.
He was like, it's set at Christmas time. It's not a Christmas movie. And I was like, well, you're wrong, but I appreciate your input.
It's not Christmas until Hans falls off in Nakatomi Plaza. Right. That's just how it is. And Carl Winslow helps out.
Helps out, yeah. He runs that car over, you know, shoots the angry European guy.
Probably redundant.
Yeah.
So what we've been doing is picking a Christmas movie. Last year we picked Santa Claus the Movie, and keeping the vein of really bad Christmas movies.
Hoo-wee!
We decided this year to go with the holiday spectacular, A Christmas Story 2.
What else are we doing? We're doing A Christmas Story 2? What else?
No, just a Christmas Story.
Christmas Vacation.
Part 2.
Oh.
The Search for Ralphie's Gold.
Okay. That actually makes sense, because Daniel Stern was in City Slickers.
Yeah. So this was a direct-to-DVD cash-in from, like, I think 2012?
2012, yeah.
Apparently, I don't know if this is actually how this went down, but this is the last production of Warner Home Video. They're
Warner,
like,
Premiere or whatever.
Yeah.
This is Kill True. It.
Because
all the DC animated stuff has that Warner Premiere.
I think that must be a different division or
it
something, because I looked it up, and this is the last thing that whatever that studio is, that subsection, this is their last film.
What other fine films has it treated us to?
Let's see. So
did they do like the War Games sequel
Christmas
and stuff
Vacation
like that?
Too?
Yeah.
I'm guessing they did. So let's see here. If I just look up...
Warner Premiere, I think.
Because there was like that. They tried to bring back Lost Boys. They did a War Games sequel.
It's so there's... Yeah, that Lost Boys movie is awful. But there is a Lost Boys comic that is a direct sequel. That's really good. It's coming out now by Tim Seeley and some European artist. I can't pronounce his name.
Warner's Premiere, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of those DC animated movies, I'm almost positive, were put out through Warner's Premiere. They have since switched to Warner Brothers Animation, but
Warner Premiere debuted with 2007's The Dukes of Hazzard: The Beginning.
Hey,
so there was that. Then
is that the one that's going to be based off the Johnny Knoxville one?
Now, well, it was from 2007.
It says the beginning. They brought it back on like the Nashville Network or something
for a while.
And but this predates the movie.
Oh,
and, with Johnny Knoxville, and they were trying to make like 2-hour movies out of it. It was kind of like when we talked before about that action pack.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they had a Dukes of Hazzard in that action pack as well.
Huh.
That never really took off.
When
yeah,
Jessica Simpson was a thing.
And no, this well the Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah. Yeah, and she was certainly a thing
in that movie.
Holy cow!
Yes.
So, but you're right. Warner Premiere is the one that does those animated features. So maybe they do animated stuff, but this is the last live action.
There's a reason.
Yeah.
Yes, there.
Wow.
Is.
So you know, we discussed this amongst the group. Like, what should we do? And there we tossed around ideas for Christmas Vacation 2, which focuses on
Cousin Eddie.
Which yeah. Woo. And then yeah, we landed on A Christmas Story 2, which I got to tell you. Didn't know existed.
Yes.
I had no idea this was a thing.
You are welcome.
Yeah. Well, now, Tom, you know more about the novel than we do. Can you explain a little bit about how A Christmas Story is based off the novel, but only part of it, and there's more, and there were multiple sequels, right?
Right. Well, so the narrator of the original Christmas Story is Gene Shepard, who wrote the book In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash.
Right.
And it is a collection of short stories based on his life and childhood.
So is he Ralphie?
Yeah, Ralphie is essentially him,
right?
And and he's kind of like a one man Garrison Keillor in a way. You know what I mean? Although I guess he predates Garrison Keillor. But
and for those of us who don't know who that is, can you explain what Garrison Keillor
Dan's
is like?
Not here to help you out.
Is he he's like a one man?
I mean, Garrison Keillor. I mean, he had like Woebegone Days. It was a radio show. It was on for 30 years or something, and it was basically like kind of this like homey. Like nostalgia for small town America, but like also a little tongue in cheek, poking fun at it, but lovingly.
Right. So Gene Shepard started off telling his stories on the radio, right? Before the book was published.
Right. And so, what's interesting is A Christmas Story is technically based on short stories that were originally published in Playboy, which makes sense. It all comes full circle when you realize that the guy who brought A Christmas Story to the big screen is Bob Clark.
Correct.
Whose other most famous movie is, of course,
Porky's.
Porky's.
Yeah. Also Black Christmas.
Yeah. Which he agreed to make so he could get A Christmas Story.
Right. Right.
So they were like, I want to make his follow up to Porky's was A Christmas Story. And they were like, you were insane. Right. We are not going to make that. And he was like, I'll make that crappy horror movie for you if you let me make this, and they were like, okay,
watch out, them fighting words.
It's not a crappy horror movie.
Yeah, that's, but I could tell that one. Yeah. I could just see the hate in his eyes.
There wasn't hate,
flaming,
but
there's
like
up.
You're better than that.
I've never seen it. I just assume
it's pretty good.
I assume all horror movies are crappy. Right. Until
to be fair,
otherwise.
He's not a horror guy. So yeah.
Proven otherwise.
Yeah. So just to be clear, the idea of revisiting these characters, while to the uninitiated might seem blasphemous, it has in fact been done numerous times.
You mean these characters or
yes.
This character? Oh
yeah, the Ralphie Parker has been played on screen many times.
This is the fourth sequel, correct?
Well, so
film sequel.
So it was PBS did three that were part of American Playhouse and also part of I think a show called Visions, and so it was the Phantom of the Open Hearth and the Great American 4th of July and Other Disasters, and the star-crossed romance of Josephine Kosnowski.
Did they all star the same kid?
No, it was always all different actors, because they were pretty spaced out. Like, one was 76, one was 82, one was 85. And then Matt Dillon plays Ralphie Parker in one
version.
So this
is 83. The original one is 83, I think.
That sounds right.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, and then there was a sequel in 94 that I believe Bob Clark came back for that was called... It was released under two titles. It Runs in the Family, and then it got retitled because nobody knew what it was. Yeah. It was retitled My Summer Story, and it starred, I think...
That's the Charles Grodin
Charles Grodin and Kieran Culkin, I believe.
Oh, really?
And Mary Steenburgen, who... Those two were in Clifford, too, I believe. Well, Charles Grodin and Mary Steenburgen were in Clifford, right?
Either Clifford or Beethoven.
So it was the same year. So what's interesting is
use the leftover sets,
right? So because I'm pretty sure that movie, The Summer Vacation, was 94, and I'm pretty sure Clifford was too with those same actors. So it's just kind of interesting.
Yeah,
that,
she was a thing for a minute too.
Yeah, she was in Back to the Future 3, right?
She was Clara.
She's Clara. Yeah,
man.
So you know, I mean, they've never really had another And then the Disney Channel also did something called Ollie Hoop Noodles Haven of Bliss.
Whoa.
And that was in 88.
Okay.
You'd think that they would try to use something that would harken back to Christmas. But I guess
I think the problem that they ran into is he had all these story collections, and I think where his vision came in is he culled all the Christmas stories. And that, because there really isn't much of a through line,
right,
you know?
Right.
And so he culled all the Christmas stories into one and cohesive story.
Where would you rank that as far as like popularity wise, as far as Christmas movies?
Oh, I think probably top
way
five.
I think top five.
I mean, yeah, they play it for 24 hours on TBS, right?
I was actually thinking top five.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's up there now with like It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th
the Grinch.
Street,
Christmas Vacation.
I think The Grinch has
and
to
a, well, a lot of people hate The Grinch, though.
Really?
The movie?
Yeah.
Oh, are you talking about the cartoon?
The little cartoon
movie?
On. The classic cartoon.
Well, I don't guess that's not a movie.
That's not a movie, though. That's like half an hour.
But, okay. But I guess I still consider it a... I mean, you think it's a TV special?
Yeah, I mean, it was made for CBS.
Right.
It's a TV show.
Okay.
You know who made that?
Chuck Jones.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep, that's right.
Yeah. Boris Karloff.
Yeah.
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 But
Chuck Jones directed it,
uh-huh.
which was really cool. I'm like, that's
when
neat.
You look at the animation.
Yeah. Oh, like, absolutely. Oh. Looks like
there's nobody that could touch Chuck Jones.
Yeah.
He was so good.
But I would absolutely say, and I wasn't trying to be like pedantic. I just don't consider
I understand.
If you said Christmas, whatever,
right,
you know,
right.
But like
Peanuts.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't consider Peanuts a
sharp.
Movie
or
either.
Snowman,
you know?
Or anything like that.
Right. It's apples and oranges.
Right.
You know, but
no, I agree.
But yeah, so I mean, but in terms of actual just films, I mean, you're not going to get very far down the list before you hit A Christmas Story.
Yeah,
nope.
I agree.
And so I think that's where Bob Clark's vision came in, is he was like, because your stories are kind of, you know, they're not necessarily linear. Like,
yeah.
they eventually tell a story about a kid growing up in a small town and moving out, becoming a writer and just, you know, but that's a long story to tell.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And if you watch some of these previous ones, if you're interested, they're available on iTunes. Or not iTunes. They're available on YouTube.
Oh, I was like, I'm not paying for
that. Yeah. They're available on YouTube, like in their entirety. And
really?
Yeah. And it was, I watched part of the Matt Dillon one, which is The Great American 4th of July and Other Disasters. And it was interesting in that, I mean, Gene Shepard still narrates them, right? So they still because he was very well known for a lot of these stories
got a killer voice too.
Yeah, and they got adapted for radio, so people, he had a fan base that knew his voice that wanted to hear him, right? And so but like when you would watch this, I mean, there are large swaths of it with absolutely no dialogue.
Oh, it's just him talking.
It's just him like reading the story over footage of the actors kind of acting it out and going through their day or whatever.
How would that even work in a like film in that?
Yeah, I mean, they're not, it's weird because even, I mean, it's almost like they took a radio thing and laid it over B-roll, except it's clearly not B-roll.
It's like when they do those like unsolved mysteries and they do a reproduction, you know, and they're talking and narrating the story.
I mean,
they're showing a black and white reproduction of the story.
Oh, yeah. Robert Stack should narrate these.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But I mean, there was one section I watched. I mean, I think it went on for 5 minutes and there was no dialogue because I wanted to hear, like, was Matt Dillon trying to adopt an accent or lose an accent?
Yeah.
You know, and like, I mean, I had to like keep fast forwarding before I could hear him speak.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really odd in that regard. So, so while people feel like this movie is untouchable and this should be left alone, there are film versions that predate it and there are multiple film versions that postdate it. Mm-hmm. But A Christmas Story 2 is
the newest.
Wow. Absolute drivel.
It is terrible.
It is so bad.
It is very bad. It is so I want to talk about the narration.
Right.
Where I feel like this guy, to raise your hand if you listen to Fat Man on Batman. Not or Hollywood Babylon with Kevin Smith. Okay. So you know who Ralph Garman is though?
I mean, I know the name.
Okay. So he is really good at doing voices. Like he's got some killer voices.
This guy sounds like Adam West.
He sounds like he's doing
an Adam West
impression. Well, he sounds like he's doing an impression of Ralph Garman doing an impression of Adam West.
Right.
And I was just like,
when you listen to it, did you get that? I mean, me and John have talked. I'm like, this sounds like an Adam West impersonation.
That was the, like, as soon as he starts talking, I was like, is this Adam West?
Yeah, I thought the exact same.
It was so weird.
It's what is also weird is they cast as the father, because obviously all the original actors are either dead or too
Speaking
old to play
of
these
that,
roles.
Like, you know, the kid that played Ralphie is like a hotshot producer.
Yeah,
he's Vince Vaughn's right-hand guy.
Yeah, they're tight. They're buddies. They have been for years.
Have you ever seen the thing that they did where they first met? They did like a after-school special.
Oh, that's right.
About steroids.
Yeah.
And Vince Vaughn was taking steroids. And Ralphie was like, his buddy's like, no, man, can't take steroids. That's not cool. And Vince Vaughn's like, whatever. And like shooting steroids into his butt. That's a real thing. I'm sure it's on YouTube. I don't know what it's, but it was an after school PSA with both of these guys in it. And it was just like, what?
And they've been
tied ever
best
since.
Best friends ever
he
since.
He was the producer on Elf.
Yeah. Elf was Peter Billingsley. Yeah. And I know, the movie Vince Vaughn made with Jennifer Aniston.
The Breakup.
Yeah. That was Peter Billingsley.
It's not a bad movie.
That's okay.
That's all right.
That scene with him and Favreau.
So good.
Oh my God.
I got it. No more.
Yeah. Like, oh my God. You can tell. Like, and what's a shame is that scene does not fit the tone of the movie.
No.
In any way, shape, or form.
That's a swinger scene.
But it was too good to not include in that film. And it totally disrupts the flow of the film. But it's so funny that you're like,
I'll
allow it.
That flick needs it. Like, because that is a dour movie.
It is.
And that's where they yell at each other the whole movie.
It's called The Breakup, and then they actually break up.
Yeah, right.
You know?
But, like, they're living together, and Vince Vaughn's getting, like, a lap dance from a stripper.
Yeah, but
they just like, yell at each other for 2 hours.
And there isn't a happy ending. And I think the problem with The Breakup is that it should have never been a big-budget studio movie.
No.
It needed to be a small art house film.
I agree.
It should have been.
That's where Vince Vaughn kind of...
Yeah.
Like, hits the ground running.
It should have been a $5 million movie, and instead they made it a $40 million movie.
Because they got some big old actor.
Because
well,
big names.
One.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't... I guess he was kind of on the uptick.
I think he was kind of... He had had a moment.
Was old plateau. School, right?
Well, it was Old School and Wedding Crashers.
Yeah,
and
so those were
there's
huge.
Something else. And
I
he had, like,
was
plateaued.
That after Wedding Crashers?
I think that was
before Wedding Crashers.
Because
then
pretty sure
then he
after.
Did the one with Kevin James... Where it's like Kevin James's wife was cheating on him, and he knew, but he didn't want to tell. It was
yeah.
That was another one that was like the same tone as The Breakup,
right.
But you're like, Vince Vaughn and Kevin James, this should be slapstick, and it was not slapstick. It was woo-wee.
But
everybody's I was like Shooter McGavin. That's not. What's his name?
Darren
McGavin. Thank you.
Kolchak.
Stucker. What a great show.
Yeah.
On Netflix, 70s goodness. I watched that in Columbo.
When The Breakup was a year after Wedding Crashers.
Okay. But yeah, that Kolchak is great. But yeah, I think you're right. I think everybody is dead. I think the mom's dead. Is she?
So what were you going to say about Daniel Stern?
Oh, well, I mean, Daniel Stern is obviously famous for narrating The Wonder Years. So
yeah.
Which took its style from a Christmas story.
Which is inspired by a Christmas story. And so when I saw originally that like Daniel Stern's going to be in, I'm like, oh, that's great. Because even though he doesn't necessarily sound just like Gene Shepard, I mean, when people watched The Wonder Years at first, they were like, did they get the guy from A Christmas Story? I mean, people were wondering that. And even if he doesn't sound like him, like you're used to him narrating childhood. So like... I'm like, oh, that's kind of smart.
Yeah.
He's not the narrator of the film.
he's not.
Oh, wait, he's Marv, the Wet Bandits from Harry.
I said this is Marv's origin story.
Right.
He literally plays Marv from Home Alone.
Is going to turn into Marv.
Like he's got like, this like crooked smile and this goofy smirk. Like he's playing Marv.
Yeah.
In this
but
movie.
Yeah, I'm just like because like but when I first saw that when this got announced, I remember reading about it. I was like Daniel Stern. I'm like. Well, that's kind of clever. Like, that's okay. That's kind of smart. And then when I see the trailer, and that just gives it away. It's awful.
Right.
But when I see the trailer, and I'm like, he's not the narrator. Then okay, we're not making smart decisions, and we're also not making bad decisions. We're making epically bad decisions.
Yeah.
Like the kind of decisions where you almost made a good decision, but then it was really bad.
But it was the opposite.
It was
of that.
Yeah. You were so close, and then you take that one wrong turn. And it just off the rails.
And it's way worse than if you had taken the wrong turn to start with.
Right.
It's like it's like you're trying to get somewhere and you make a wrong turn and you're like, I'll just keep going. Right. This is like
around.
This is like you're trying to get somewhere and you pass where you should have turned and then you make a wrong turn.
Right. Like, right. You're like, oh, I can fix this.
Right.
And then you can't fix
this. Well, let's talk about how badly they wanted the look to be a Christmas story.
But they didn't, though, right? Because, like, if I remember, I've seen that movie a billion times, and, like, I feel like that house
No, was, I just mean oh, no, no, no. I just mean how they took this movie was released in what, 2012?
2012, yeah.
Okay. How badly they took the color down and they made it look old. So like when I say kind of muted, not
sepia tone.
Right.
But like,
right.
Yeah.
It's like sepia for color for in the 40s. You know what I mean? But it's that like very washed out even, you know?
Yeah.
Like they wanted so badly and tried so hard, and by so hard I meant not at all to make this movie look like an old movie. It was just like they filmed a movie on digital and then like took the color down 40%. Yeah. But like they gave it this hazy, like they put a lining of marshmallow fluff in front of the camera. like
cheesecloth
yeah,
filter.
The entire movie is just this hazy filtered movie, and it's like, no, that doesn't look like
also,
that at all. Because A Christmas Story was
legitimately, I don't mean like dirty, but it was gritty, dirty film, filmed
on film, and this is digital, obviously, with some weird filter, and it's like, no, this just looked like it should be some kind of like a, I think of like a movie, a really bad movie, if like someone dies and goes to heaven, and it's all bright and white, like, you know, faded colors or whatever, and blue and clouds and stuff. Like, I feel like this is a really bad dream sequence, but it's 2 hours.
Oh, no, there's those too.
Yeah.
That still happens.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
But like the...
No, this is my really bad dream sequence.
there's a weird like time gap, right? So Ralphie,
this would be about 7 years.
Be okay, six. I did the math.
Six, right?
It's been, so because
he's 10. Well, he's nine, and
right, and they say
he's
on Christmas Day
16.
They say the boy's almost 16.
Yeah, he was not 16,
and
yet.
He's nine in the original.
Oh, so he's about to turn 10, so 6, okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking 9 to six, about 16, but you're right. He's about to turn each. Okay.
So it's been six years.
Ralphie looks like he's aged. His brother has not. His brother looks to be about the exact same age.
Ralphie has aged 6 years, whereas his brother has aged 3.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, what are we? All right, fine. But yeah, so the movie kind of starts. Daniel Stern's radiator doesn't work.
His furnace?
Furnace, sorry. So he's like, he's constantly having this battle with the furnace.
And he's cursing just like in Home Alone.
Yeah.
Like when I say he's Marv from Home Alone, that fricka-fracka-fricka.
Yeah, but that's how the dad cussed.
It is?
Yeah. The dad cussed in complete gibberish.
Okay.
But it's just funny because they do that in Home Alone, so it's like he is, it just seems like him pulling that exact
character. Yeah, and the brother's running around like a spaceman.
Right.
Which, I mean, isn't that what he did in the first one? He was something. He thought he was something. Oh, he thought he was like a pig or something.
Yeah, he thought he was a pig.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And when the mom makes him eat like a pig, like he's
awful.
Eating off the plate.
Like,
oh.
That scene in that movie.
It's so disturbing.
Is disturbing, and it's also like, get your kid under control.
Yeah.
Stop letting, he's old. He's too old to be eating like a pig.
And she's encouraging it, though. It's so horrifying, him eating.
Man.
Like, oh.
So Ralphie he's in high school now, and
he's found hair tonic. I guess that's a major thing.
Is that
for
what
him.
He called?
I guess that's what Vitalis is.
Oh, okay.
Because it's all about his hair. Like, he's found hair tonic, and so his hair is this like coiffed, you know.
He's reached the age where he cares about how he looks.
Yeah. They also want this kid to look like Ralphie at 16.
Right.
They try. And if you ever see this kid,
this is Project Almanac.
Yeah.
It is.
This kid, if you look at his IMDb, is like a supermodel. And
he's got like that Harry Styles, like One Direction style brown hair. That's always,
So in this movie, they just dye his hair blonde and put glasses on him. Yet he doesn't look like Ralph. He looks like a supermodel with fake blonde hair and glasses.
Project Almanac.
Just like Prominent. We'll just call it Project Almanac Syndrome, right?
This is actually the kid from Project Almanac. Yeah. He just got stuck in this alternate timeline.
He deserves it.
Yeah, that's right. So him and it, like, so his dad is teaching him, Daniel Stern is teaching him how to drive. But also, like, Darren McGavin had this quality. As the dad.
Talent.
Well, talent, yeah. That's not fair.
I don't think you can say Daniel Stern
Daniel
is
a
talent.
I think Daniel Stern is a very talented guy. I think he's super underrated because I think he's very funny. Not just Home Alone, but like City Slickers or Angels in the Outfield. I think he was, as bad as that movie is, I think he's really funny in it. Is that right? Is that the one he's in?
No. He's Rookie of the Year. He's,
which actually, that movie's not bad.
Yeah. No, I mean, I grew up with that. You and me grew up with the same crap.
Totally.
So,
yeah,
totally.
But
I mean,
like,
the Chicago Cubs, though, which sucks,
blech,
right?
Blech,
yeah.
Whatever. Got another argument with somebody who was like, oh, yeah, how were the playoffs? We're just like, we go every year. Yeah. You won one in 108. He's like, how many have the Blues won? And I was like, right, 50 years. How many years did you take? Oh, 108. All right, shut up. Where
Darren, sorry, that was sports talk.
Tom Glass.
Just wanted to nod it off.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know, just at least the subject. But
Darren McGavin had this quality where he was like, he was an asshole, but you loved him. Like he had that.
He was gruff but lovable. But yeah. You believed the gruff.
Yes,
Daniel Stern, you do not believe the gruff.
No, absolutely not. And I think that's. And he's not doing an impression of Darren McGavin.
No.
Like, he's doing his own thing.
He's doing...
I think the only one that they're really striving to make look like the is Ralphie.
Is Ralphie. And maybe the mom... Not even the mom so much.
I think the mom has, like, the look of the era, and that's similar. But yeah. I don't... You know,
they're not trying to copy what
she's got the same haircut, but
right.
They don't go to any extremes other than that.
That, yeah.
You know?
So he's teaching them how to drive, and they have this idea to swindle the car dealer.
Okay, well, how frequently do they buy cars is what I want to know, because they've been pulling this scam for years, apparently.
Yeah.
How many cars have they bought since he was...
Well, and let's talk about the opening of the movie where, yeah. Like, this movie's so desperate to, like, cash in on nostalgia. Like, I actually counted, in the first, like, 3 minutes of the film, they directly reference the first film.
Oh, they do?
5 times. They make, like, 5 different references to, like, they're like, oh, the, you know... What are they? I'm trying to remember what all they referenced. But like,
I mean, the BB gun.
They I think they referenced the BB gun. Do they reference
the lamp?
The lamp's later.
But this is, I'm talking in the first 5 minutes.
Oh.
There are direct references to things that to events.
Hey, remember
or items.
This? Remember yeah. this?
They do the whole tongue thing.
Right? He's talking about in the 5.
But I mean, like, I'm just thinking.
The movie as a whole is
is
essentially a remake.
It's the
Hangover 2.
Of
Christmas movies.
And what it like
except
like
Hangover 2 made more money.
Oh yeah. Don't even give it
and,
off.
And
we'll
as much
there.
As it pains me to say it's better.
yeah Hangover, you can't deny that the Hangover 2 is better than A Christmas Story 2. You gotta admit it.
Yeah,
you gotta admit
there's
it.
Production quality there, so yeah. I you know how hard that is. You know how much I hate the Hangover 2. I've never
seen
nothing else, just the talent of the cast.
Right.
Yes.
I know. Yeah, I know. You know, I'm just saying. Oh, that pains me to say. Don't ask me that question. I'm not editing that I even was asked that.
But yeah they do all kinds of references. And it's just, you're right. They're
because
just
it's
like,
desperate.
Remember?
She's like,
remember?
She's like, you know, the kid like cusses at him, the little kid. And
just,
she,
yeah.
And
it's just like with Ralphie.
And she's like,
but she's
I'll
like,
make you bite the bar. Oh, you'll have to have soap in your mouth,
right,
young man.
That was a bad
like
one.
The last movie that everyone loved, remember?
Remember?
And also, like, at this point in 2012, TBS is also showing A Christmas Story 24 hours.
Right.
So yeah. If you want to see a better movie, you have the opportunity to do so.
Yes.
Yeah. So they're trying to get a new car.
And so they say that him and the old man
have been running this scheme
for years and years and years. Okay. So I didn't really do the math of the model of car that he has and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just thinking, like, back in the day, I'm guessing people didn't change cars every...
Well, cars were also built to last.
Yeah.
And I think adjusted for inflation, they're probably a lot more expensive.
Yeah, so I don't think you change cars every 3 years, and this kid is about 16. The last movie was 9. I'm just trying to think, like, how many times
what
in his
year
16
was,
years
what
could
year was
he,
the original movie set?
45.
Well, 45? No, it's debated hotly as to whether or not it was 39 or 40, and some people say 43.
Why is that a hot debate?
Because it's vague, and there are misleading factors.
Oh.
And so... some people say 39 because you see, like, the Wizard of Oz people at the parade.
Okay.
Some people say 40 based on some of the, like, the baseball trades he's talking about or something in the paper.
Oh, and I apologize. 40 is what I thought it was because I was trying to look this up earlier.
And the Little Orphan Annie decoder ring says 1940.
Okay.
The decoder pin is a 1940 Speedomatic
model. He makes a reference
model.
To the White Sox.
Yeah. But then the calendar in their kitchen shows that the 1st of December is on a Friday, and the 1st of December fell on a Friday in 1939.
Because they filmed it.
But not in 1940.
Ah.
So, you know, so, and some people, but then...
often do you change those calendars?
Yeah.
I mean...
But the Bing Crosby version of, like, Jingle Bells or whatever they play didn't come out until 43. So, I mean, so...
Huh.
It's...
Do you think he did that on purpose just to keep it... So you're
no.
not well, no, I mean, like,
I think they just didn't care.
I think they didn't
okay,
think
true.
Through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was
yeah.
just thinking, like, so it would keep it kind of
Like, I think they wanted it a little vague.
Yeah, that's
because
what I mean.
It's like also
it's lock it down.
If it's taking place in the mid 40s, like 40 or even early
World
like
War II,
it's like, why are there no references to the war?
Yeah, that's true.
You know.
Yeah.
And but if it was taking place during the war, there's no way he would have gotten a medal.
Oh no! Decoder absolutely.
Ring.
Yeah. Totally.
There's no way they all the medal went to the war effort.
Everything went.
So
yeah.
It's either 39, 40, or 46. Like, there's no way that like
that makes sense.
You know.
Right. Yeah, so they've been running
this
team.
Is about 46. So, yeah, how many times in his almost 16 years has he ran a scam? Because, okay, first of all, you don't do it when you're three. You're not old enough. And why would the backseat not be roomy if you're three, right? You're a baby.
Yeah.
So, right. Like, how often has he ran this scam?
Because
they act like.
Then,
and chances are they probably didn't buy a car during the war.
Yeah, that's also so it's true, like he's been running this scam forever. That doesn't even make sense.
Right.
But they
don't worry.
Included it in the fine writing. And the writer is the narrator of this one, just so you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I caught that too. Yeah.
There's no shortage of that doesn't make sense in this movie.
So
they go in there. They're trying to buy the car. And the guy's like, oh, I'll have to think about it. And then as they're doing this, Ralphie finds like this beat up old Mercury convertible. Like covered up in the garage, and he was like, this is it, this is the car that I want, this is blah blah blah.
I think it was called the Mercury driving car.
Oh, I think you're right. Yeah, yeah. Mercury plot device.
Yeah,
is what that was.
I love
called.
The fact that it's covered, and he takes the cover off of it, and it still has dust,
still has
on,
dust
it.
On it.
But it's covered.
It's covered. What? I don't think that's how that works. I think
they're like, okay, this is the perfect amount of dust. Let me throw this cover on here to preserve
right.
this perfect amount.
The Wachowskis made this movie, so everything had to be like, look, you need to have 5 millimeters of dust on this car right now. So he decides, you know, he's going to try to. Like trick his dad into buying another car.
Yeah, it's very cleverly at dinner. He's like 30% of Americans have a second car.
Was also like, Mom, you know, if Dad goes to work or something, this way you could have a car.
You could
and
get a
this is where we begin that this is essentially a remake because it's like every element from the first movie
trying to get the BB gun
has done a find replace on the item.
Right,
so it's
right,
like
right.
So it's like, remember how he wanted a BB gun? Well, 16-year-olds want cars, and so. Here now he wants a car.
Now
like
he wants
how
a car.
Lazy was this to make a movie that's supposed to be set 6 years earlier and just find and replace?
Who originally put that out? Like who?
What do you mean exactly?
Well, like was it Warner Brothers? Did Warner Brothers put out a Christmas Story?
I would think so.
I feel like it is. Yeah.
So I have. I wonder if this was one of those like, oh crap, we're gonna lose it. You know what I mean? Like we got to get something else.
I don't know.
Like the rights to the story,
man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah. I do not know. MGM. Was the original?
Yeah, but they're not MGM anymore.
Right.
Yeah, but
Warner's probably acquired that.
So they probably acquired it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That MGM catalog has been split
right,
so weird.
So I'm guessing.
You don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
I mean, I would like to.
Not right now.
Not right
now,
I don't.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would like to see where everything ended up.
Yeah.
So he's trying to, like, you know, subtly, you know, he would put, like, ads inside the newspaper or things like that. So he decides.
In other words, all the same stuff that he did in the first.
Exactly
yeah.
the
oh,
same
okay.
stuff. Yeah, with the exception of, you know, like getting in the car.
But then that darn furnace started.
Darn
misfiring.
Furnace. Darn
oh,
furnace.
Oh, that furnace not working was so funny in the first one. We could revisit that 16 times throughout the course of this
They're
movie.
Trying to, like, lump in the stuff from Home Alone as well.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, creepy furnace. Got it.
I want to know
house,
what kind of furnace that was in the first
house
Home Alone.
That house also just sold. Did you see that?
Yeah.
For, like, $1.3 million
that's
or
huge
something.
House.
That's a big old
and
house.
A very fancy suburb of Chicago.
I do like the meme, which is like, you know, now that I get older, when I watch Home Alone, I gotta ask myself, what did Kevin McAllister's dad do to afford that house and take his entire family to France?
Yeah.
So he's, you know, he's hanging out with his buddies who I gotta tell you, I didn't remember their names. Like, I don't remember their
Fleck
names.
And Schwartz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was hoping to also see the bully. Like the bully.
Yeah, I can't believe with everything they recycled,
they
you never see
use,
Scott Farkas.
Yeah. Never see
especially
either one of them.
When the girl that he has a crush on has a boyfriend.
Right.
That's a perfect place
should have been Farkas.
To plug in Scott Farkas.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, and she's dating this jerk.
Yeah, but that sounds like it would have been a good idea.
Fair enough.
And I mean, you guys have seen this movie,
we'll see,
right?
Now we're writing.
Remember when we talked about making decisions and then making the opposite?
And when they show him at school.
Yeah.
And they introduce the girl.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, but she's got this boyfriend who's the quarterback of the football team. Mm-hmm. And you see him coming down the steps with all the other jocks. throwing a basketball back and forth. Like, two weeks before Christmas.
Nobody's
like,
playing.
What?
You should be playing football there,
buddy. You should be playing football.
And Tom noticed this, right?
And they're in shorts and
shorts,
tank tops.
Shorts and tank tops.
And I'm like, what?
In Christmas.
What the holy hell is happening?
And we're not in L.A. Like,
no,
we're
you're in Indiana.
Indiana,
you're
right.
In home in Indiana. Yeah. Like, it's, it, yeah.
It was a very odd choice.
But yeah, so he has this girl that's,
Priscilla,
you know.
Priscilla.
Yeah, besides the girl in the car take the place of the BB gun.
Yes, correct. Yeah. So, you know, he's, you know, daydreaming about her. He's got some of the worst dream sequences where he decides.
Okay, sequences. Okay, I just.
Where he's fighting.
I think they only end up doing them like twice, don't they?
They do the Nazi one.
Were those supposed to be funny?
They do the one where they're in the car driving. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. This whole movie's supposed to be funny.
But when
Kevin,
they cut to those, I'm like, who thought that those were somehow.
But there were dream sequences in the first one, so there have to be dream sequences.
Oh, that's right, because this is like basically
cut. And I guarantee you that if there are going to be dream sequences of a 16-year-old boy about that girl,
they're not. He's not driving. Well, he might be in the back of a car.
If they involve Nazis, it's because he has a very odd fetish.
This is even pre-internet.
He's in
porn,
jail,
so
right?
Yeah,
his two friends are like the jailers. That was a dream sequence.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, where he's about to get killed. Yeah. He's about to get put to death for committing a crime of some sort.
Yeah, it was bad news bears. So he's, you know, he is devised.
And they had to put two layers of cheesecloth for that to make it look super hazy. If the regular footage wasn't hazy enough.
One was shot all the way in black and white. They really committed to the Nazi one.
Well, they just took the color out. That's all that was. So he decides they're walking down the street and he's like, yeah, I'll just. The car of his dreams, which was this piece of crap, has now been washed.
Yeah. A day later, it's gem mint and on display.
And he's like, somebody's going to buy it, and I can't believe this. I'm going to lose my car. So he decides to.
He does know that they were mass produced, correct?
Yeah, there's more than one.
Like, there's
more than one car.
He's aware of the assembly line.
Well, remember, this was before the internet, so.
Well, all right.
Then explain the Nazi fetish, Kevin.
Yeah, right.
Right? It was before its time.
Well, I guess that says what year it is, right? So it's if he's
well, it has to be post-war or at least
war.
During the war.
Yeah, okay. So he decides to get in the car, and I guess
I just want to feel what it's like behind the wheel one last time before it gets sold. And he thinks that instantly when this old car that just got a car wash goes up on the
guess what, buddy? There's upholstery. There's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
like if the outside of that car looked like crap. I don't know. Yeah. So he gets in the car and his pants get stuck on the brake.
Somehow
whack
it goes
hijinks
whack
ensue.
It somehow
and
goes through his pants.
It's on this one of those things that like
yeah, it's like on a tilt.
Lifts the car and tilts it and
like
so
if
it,
you had a Hummer that you were trying to sell and you park it on a rock sideways.
Do
like
they make
it's
those
like,
anymore?
I don't think they make them anymore, but you know, you would see people like, I've got to park this car up on the curb so one wheel is up tilted.
To show my manliness.
And it's also like, you know you're going to ruin the other wheels, right? Like that's
so it's like the car is up on a ramp, but it's like sideways ramp. That's like,
but yeah, it rolls down through traffic.
And then it kisses a street lamp.
Yeah.
And he gets out and he's like, woo, that was
barely,
dangerous.
Just barely. Yeah. Just the bumper gets a little tap.
And then his buddies are like, yeah. And then the whole thing falls on top of the car.
A reindeer falls off the
street. Yeah, a reindeer. Yeah. Right.
Because it's a Christmas movie.
Of course.
And goes through the roof. Decorative reindeer falls off.
Goes through the roof and tears through the leather.
Right.
Yep.
So the guy that runs the place tells him he owes him
$85.
I checked, adjusted for inflation.
Oh, I checked too.
Is $1,436. Did you get the same number?
Let's see. So did you do based on 46?
I did based on, you know what? I did based on 40.
No, it's 46. So $85 would have been $1,052.05.
I guess the war was bad for the economy. I got $1,100 on my calculator, but still, it's roughly $1,000.
Either way. Yeah.
So this would be
actually,
like some.
That's not that.
He has to raise it in like a week.
Yeah,
that's
this is
also
a kid
true.
That this is a kid that doesn't have a job trying to get what's equal to $1,000 in a week.
Yeah.
Or
so he's going
to go
work at not Bloomingdale's. So he goes to work and he takes his two buddies.
Well,
like, you guys owe me too.
Well, he's like, whatever he says, like, best bros are in this together.
Yeah.
Like,
bros before hoes.
Yeah, even though he totally screwed this thing up, he's like, you know, we're brothers for life. And so,
you know what?
Guys are going to pay this back.
I have friends that are like that. But if they're like, hey, man, you need to help me raise $1,000. And I was like, why? Well, because I tore up the top of this roof.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you know, I don't think he realizes, like, his friends aren't on the hook for this.
No.
Like, they're not going to jail in a week.
Yeah.
So, like,
which also is just like, you're not going to jail. That's not, it's fine. Yeah. Like, it's not that big a deal. So he decides to go work at Higby's.
Yeah.
And he takes his two buddies with him. And initially they...
They were getting like a dead-end job. And so I was thinking to myself, how much would a kid...
what was minimum wage in 1945
or whatever? Right, because exactly. So I was like, how much would these kids be making at this department store? And so, yeah, I went by minimum wage. And so minimum wage is 40 cents.
Fuck. Okay.
So 40 cents an hour, and there's three of them. So that's $1.20.
Oh, yeah, we forgot about the recycled fudge.
Yeah. Right.
But so, right, so I'm like, so these kids together would make $1.20. Let's say 20 cents goes out for taxes, so $1, right? And they have to raise $85. Like,
it would take them 85 weeks.
No. What, one hour a week? Well, you didn't. Oh, no, you didn't. Pass math.
No,
did
no.
But no, so I was trying to do the calculations. So in a week, if they're making, you know, a dollar combined an hour, let's say they work an 8-hour day, right?
Well, there's no way they're gonna work 40 hours a week.
That's also true. Yeah. So you gotta throw
also kids let's, in school, right?
Yeah, let's call it 15 hours a week.
Yeah, okay. So 15 times
three, because there's three of them.
Right. But like, so I'd say $1.20 minus 20 cents for taxes. I don't know, 20%. Yeah. So I'm saying it's $1 an hour, right, combined, right?
So they'd be making
$15 in a week times $1 an hour.
Wait, but there's three of them.
But it's 40.
Oh, you already did that. Yeah. You did
minimum
it on
wage,
the front end.
Yeah,
oh,
minimum wage is only 40 cents.
Right.
So let's just say these kids are making, do you think that's a minimum wage job? They're hiring them to spray perfume,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So they have to pay them 40 cents. So $1.20 combined an hour after taxes, let's just call it $1 to be, you know. So yeah, they would probably make 15 in a week. Like, how are they going to get the 85?
They're not going
even
to.
Even scraping together couch cushions. Like, we found all the pennies in the couches. They can make like maybe $20.
Is he going to sell that copy of Action Comics number one?
Yeah.
Wasn't worth anything.
That wasn't bad. Oh, 1945 compared. Probably not.
And there wasn't really
a market for it yet.
So it's just, I was like, this isn't even possible to make this kind of money.
No.
But that would be like a kid now without a job, you know, that has to go to school trying to raise $1,000 in a week. Like, kids don't have access.
Minimum
wage
is like $30 now or something, so it's fine.
Yeah. So anyway, but I just wanted to share that calculation because I'm like, could this be possible? I had to try to at least
no, it couldn't be possible. So yeah,
so they have to work the zaniest of jobs at a department store.
Yeah,
right?
They get tasked with wrapping presents to begin with.
Okay, first of all, they wrap a baby.
No, well, yeah, the idiot friend wraps a baby.
Who's so stupid?
I know, like
that could not happen. Like the doesn't matter how.
Yeah, no. the hijinks are so like inflatedly cartoony that
this woman, this baby is crying or whatever, right?
Isn't, right,
and she puts
and
it
never
on the
see
counter,
it, though. Like right, so in this,
it's like in a basket,
it's this giant basket.
So it's a huge basket, and
like
they're
the
frantic,
old school wicker baby
and,
carrier.
Right, people are throwing presents and money, wrap my stuff, whatever. And then he's like, "Here's your present," and it's the baby thing. Okay,
well,
you cannot wrap it open.
She's like, "Where's my baby?" Yeah. And then they look over at the thing,
and it's wrapped.
Like, oh.
But it's like, that's
like,
not
you
even
wanna,
funny.
You might want to get that baby out of that wrapping paper.
Yeah.
But it's not even funny because, like you said, I mean, it's so over the top. It's an open basket. You're not going to wrap a baby.
No.
It's crying baby. Yeah. It just,
nobody's going to be working that fast.
No. Right. So I'm like, this is just so stupid. It's not funny.
No.
And then so they get in trouble for doing that. And then they get put on like ones on perfume duty.
Yeah.
And so he has, it's a perfume sprayer.
Let me guess. Does he spray himself?
In the eye because it's backwards?
Does he, sometimes things get weird. And,
does he accidentally try to get the lid of the bottle off and it goes all over some woman's chest?
A busty woman's chest.
And he decides to...
This movie does a lot of weird things for what is ostensibly a kid's movie.
I also agree.
Because there's the scene where he's wiping the perfume off.
Yeah, yeah, and
she's grabbing one breast with one hand and wiping with the other.
They make a point to show you that she has some large boobs.
Right.
Like, they are going out of their way to make sure
you... Joe's not complaining.
No. That was the best part of the movie.
In the same scene, there's a running gag where Ralphie is with a mannequin trying to figure out how to take off his bra.
A bra, yeah. And I'm like, comedic because he can't figure out how to.
In all fairness, I couldn't figure bras out in 1945. I could barely figure out bras in 2004.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. It was like a snap in the back, like the hooks. I don't know that bras work like that in the 40s.
I don't think they did.
If only Dan were here.
I know. Damn it. Thanks a lot. Skype him in real quick.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, we just have a quick question about bras in the 40s. Can you help us out with this?
Skype has all sorts of crackles like old-timey radio.
But you know what? You would have to refer to them as ye olde bras.
That's true.
So
yeah, right.
Understand.
That's where still, top hat while you try to
they
take
were still,
it off.
Well, there was all corsets back then. It's made out of whalebone.
And strings and ties, and this is you know what, just forget it.
So it's like they fail at that job,
and they also say bitch like 19
they say son of a bitch a lot.
Yeah,
like that's the running gag, is that the dad says son of a bitch, so the kid says it as well, and then the mom says it.
Yeah,
but like in the original one, doesn't the mom like also kind of have a break, like not like a psychotic break, but like where she's finally like, that's enough.
She almost chokes him with a bar of soap.
Well,
like,
no,
you know what I mean? Like,
I feel like there's another point where she just had it. Like, she just wants Christmas to be fun or Christmas to be happy.
I feel like there was. It's been a little while since I've seen it.
All right.
Well, if it happened in the first one, I'm sure
it happened. Yeah, right.
I mean, if it happens in this one,
I want to circle back around and talk about the scene in band class.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Where he's jerking off?
Luckily, I was so close to her that I could smell her hair, and he's bending over with his nose in her hair.
And he's got these cymbals.
And he's just like,
and he just keeps, and like the look on his face is like he's about,
O-face,
he's about to blow a load.
Yeah. Yes. Like right in the back of poor Priscilla's
creepy.
Head.
Yeah. How creepy was that?
I'm like, is this a sequel to A Christmas Story or Blue Velvet?
Yeah.
What is happening?
No, I just thought it was, I mean, seriously, I'm listening to these words that, oh, luckily I was positioned. It's so,
you
know, close to her, I can smell her
and
perfume.
If you see
and
the look on his
like,
face and the way he's just beating the cymbals,
eyes are rolling the back of his head
faster, like he's in ecstasy. Like, I mean, there's no other way to read this than like this is a metaphor for him rubbing one out.
Like, to me, that's a Bob Clark joke. Like, that's a joke that you could put into Porky's, and it works.
Right, but
Porky's.
I think Bob Clark had enough sense to go, but not in A Christmas Story.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah. That's that. I did think, I was like, this is, and I feel like that scene and the boob scene, like, are pretty close to each other.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, oh, all right.
Yeah,
that's,
like,
that's,
ooh, you're really...
That is weird.
Yeah.
That is really weird.
It so, does seem strange.
And you make Ralphie less lovable because he's creepy as F. Because
he's super creepy.
Super creeper.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So...
You need to take the L and the H. And they just... Like rapey.
He's sorry.
Rapey Parker.
He's rapey Parker.
Yeah.
Priscilla has no idea what's... Well, she might.
So after he fondles the perfume woman and after Ralphie fondles the mannequin in front of a window full of shoppers laughing at her, where they put them in like the order mail, processing room.
Which is that... Were those things... Is that a thing?
Those like pneumatic
tubes?
Yeah.
People would write up an order at the department store and they sent it to packaging or shipping
right,
so that they could mail them. So this is where you get the tongue on the pole.
So also,
joke.
I'm going to say, we have had the boob joke, right?
Okay.
We've had the masturbation joke. Yeah. I was like, he's going to put his... that thing.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering.
Really?
I was kind of wondering. I'm like, it's a tube.
Right.
That's
a suction tube.
It's a cylindrical tube that produces suction. Right. Like, where else do you think that joke's going?
Well,
in all fairness.
Yeah. Well, clearly it's going to go to a tongue stuck on a pole.
Yeah.
Because that's so similar.
So that's, and I didn't realize that that's the same kid. Like, that's the same character.
Well, right.
Well, is that it's, yeah.
And
what's even creepier when you know that kid went on to be in gay porn?
No, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah.
He had that one experience. He's like, you know what? That's all right.
Just pretend it's the glory
that's
hole.
That's not so bad. That's not
so
bad.
But yeah,
so
he puts his, I mean, okay, this kid, this 16-year-old kid, puts his mouth into the suction tube for I don't know what reason, and it like takes his
all
lips.
Said,
and
like, the narration is like, and history repeated itself.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't learn from mistakes or whatever, and it's like, yeah.
I just picture this kid walking around town just putting his tongue on things.
Nice.
Yeah.
So like, oh, nope, okay. That's
not
so bad.
It's so forced to recreate the scenes.
I'm going to go lick that, you know, public telephone receiver and see what happens.
But I mean, the thing
now it's the origin story of Steve-O.
Yeah. But like, it's so forced because those two things aren't even similar other than they involve his mouth.
Right.
But like, they're so dissimilar and they're trying so hard to draw these parallels.
I'm not going
to
lie, though. In that original movie that scarred me to the point where I was like, nope. Like, after seeing that movie...
Oh, and pulling his tongue off.
Well, like putting your tongue on like the frozen anything. I was like, you know what? Yeah. No, I'm not gonna risk it. You know what?
Tom still put his hand down in the freezer.
Can you melt that ice?
But that was before Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Can you melt that ice cube? Because I don't want to take any chances. Yeah. I don't. But yeah, so they're doing that. And he puts his tongue in the tube,
his mouth,
and it was
and
so gross.
It was gross.
They show it like from the tube's POV, and
it was like
so
four
gross.
Or 5 inches into the tube, like Looney Tunes lips being, you know, it just like what? So
and
gross.
Now of course their only jobs are to be elves,
right?
Of course,
so
because
we have to recreate. We have to go and revisit the visiting Santa.
Correct. Scene. Well, we have to.
So it's trip down memory lane.
So the kid this.
They're not happy with this Santa.
Well, tiny Tim walks in and asks Santa for a tire, and the Santa's like, "What do you want a tire for? Like, you're dumb." And he pushes him on his way. So Ralphie kind of gets into it with this Santa, and the Santa is actually an actor you would recognize. He's a bit actor. He's been in a bunch of stuff, and I was like, I recognize that voice, but like I had to go online. He's been in like.
I'm sure he would love to have his career described as thus. He's a bit actor.
He's just a bit actor. Well, he's a character actor. Okay. You know,
that's probably a nicer way to put it.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Bit actor.
Let me look that up real quick.
But yeah, so they get into it with him, and then they start fighting. Is this the first time they start pushing each other?
Yeah.
Like now they're enemies, and they're always and they're at each other's throat.
Yeah, all of a sudden, this hasn't happened for the first 30-40 minutes of this dribble, and then now all of a sudden it's like every scene that's the funny thing.
I think this was about the point where the screenwriter read a book on screenplays and was like, oh, story needs conflict.
Yeah, right. What if I've messed up this entire time? He was in Godzilla.
Oh, well, he's been on there.
So
that's where I didn't know him.
Yeah. Well, you weren't on that episode. It was me and Tom.
And Picard.
Yeah, that's the original of the book.
Yeah, it's the origin story.
Yeah.
So he somehow has managed to make enough, like he makes all the money, and they never say how.
No, like, they just say we pulled our money, we scrounged up, we did this, and they. But we're jumping to the end here.
This is like the end of the movie.
I'm trying to like 60 minutes to suck.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm fine. I'm just like, oh, that's what we're doing.
What did we do? We skip something pertinent?
I mean, the whole thing with the dad.
The dad's like out ice fishing.
Well, so this is So like the dad is a total cheapskate. So instead of spending, I believe it was like $375 for a new furnace, he spends almost $200 on a 9-year-old furnace. And then
I guess you're right.
It's like $185 or something.
And let me explain something. That's how the poverty cycle begins. Like it's when you don't spend a little bit more for the good thing, you buy the cheaper thing because you can get it now.
Right.
And then you end up pouring more money into that than if you had just done it. That's just a life lesson for you. It really doesn't pertain to the movie.
Just saying.
Oh, well, thank you.
Buy the better furnace.
Right.
For the extra $100.
And you'll be okay.
And over the course of a year or two, you're going to come out ahead.
Right. Yeah, so he's already has to spend all this money on this furnace. And then so they go to buy the Christmas turkey, and it's 40 cents a pound.
Also, they...
And I don't understand the math here, because did you do the math on this one? So the turkey's 40 cents a pound.
Okay.
And your average turkey is 20 pounds.
Like 20 pounds.
Right?
Yeah.
Sure.
So you do the math on that, so it's less than $10, right?
Right.
And so somehow the mom is like... So he decides he's going to go ice fishing.
Well, he decides... He's like, that's too expensive.
We'll have fish because it's cheaper. Yeah. But then he won't even buy the fish. He's going to go ice fishing for them, right?
So she says...
Was he ever super like cheap in the movie? In the original one? Was he a super...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right. Except for the Fragile. Like, that's the thing that he splurged.
That's a major award, Joe. Yeah, he won that in a contest.
That's right. Yeah.
So he decides that he's going to go fishing. Okay. So she says that by doing the fishing, he is saving $3. I don't understand the math. So it's 40 cents a pound.
Right.
So it's about $10. She tells them he's saving $3. So
right.
I mean, was the turkey 6 pounds? It looked like a normal sized turkey to me. So I'm just saying they're writing. I don't know why they can't do simple math. She says $3. Okay.
I feel like you're
maybe
worrying.
He's saving the difference between the fish and the, I don't know.
But that's only true
if he's going to buy the fish.
Yeah. Right. And so she says he's been out there for 2 days. So essentially he's been outside for 2 days to save what she says is $3.
Yeah. Yeah. He's taken two days
in the cold.
He's taken the other boy with him, and like, also there's the boy reaches into the little brother reaches into his coat pocket to go fishing on the second day and takes a bite out of, I assume that was an old candy bar.
Yeah.
And like cracks his tooth.
Mm.
And he wants nothing to do. Like, this is another weird
thing.
And
then this turns into a horror film where he's going to this awful dentist. It's like horror close ups and he's like spitting.
There's no dentist in the original one, right? Like, I was thinking this was a beat from the original one that I don't remember.
I think that my gut tells me the dentist thing
is somehow
a story.
A gem gets sold,
and they were like, "Oh, we'll insert this dentist story."
I got you.
You know?
Yeah. So instead, it goes nowhere. There was no reason for it to be there.
Yeah.
I did think it was interesting, and this makes sense that in the '40s, the way a dentist drill worked is you pumped a thing with your foot.
That's true. Oh yeah. I didn't know that, but I totally believed
it, and I was like, that's really interesting. I don't know, at least I learned something from this movie.
I think this is the one takeaway
is that you manually operated the drill by pumping.
Think about it, like if you would want that first point in the morning because by the end his leg's tired. You don't want the slow drill.
Now do you think that guy just like waddles back and forth with his like really strong leg and his weak one, like how does that guy walk, because he's all day the dentist and he's pumping
like that,
one foot on
that
the...
Family Guy episode where Quagmire discovers internet porn.
Oh yeah, and the one hand
out,
is like
he's got Arnold Schwarzenegger and he's like what day is it where am I.
It's great.
So then the Ralphie and his buddies fix it up.
Oh, and that's another money thing where the mom's like, it costs this much, and the dad's like, oh god.
Oh yeah, and he asked the dad for money, and the dad, you know, Daniel Stern's like,
well, that's what started off. Like, the dad's outside in the beginning hanging Christmas lights, and he's like, hey, can I borrow some money? And then the dad's like, oh yeah, you kids want to probably buy Christmas presents, I'll give you a dollar. But then doesn't he ask for five?
He asked for 84 more.
Oh, 84 more.
He offers him $2 and he says, can I get 83 more?
Okay, okay. I misunderstood what he said, because I'm like, I thought he only asked him for five, a total of $5.
And then he goes,
like, what?
And then he goes full Marv.
Yeah, the dad goes, yeah, and then he goes nuts and he walks in the house, but he says, like,
you never go full Marv, Kevin.
Yeah.
You never go full
so
Marv.
That's what starts all these little crazy jobs. But anyway, so he asked
so they make all the money.
So in the end, they make over $84. They make $84 and 15
change.
Cents.
They were 78 cents short.
Right.
And they're like, oh, you're going to go to jail. I'm like, you really? You think if you walk into this guy's office with $84 and 12 cents, that
he's going to be like, nope,
not good enough.
Lock him up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Okay. Well,
ridiculous.
There was a myriad of things that went through my head at this point. One was that, why would the guy send the kids to jail over less than a dollar? Number two,
go ask your dad
point,
for that dollar you said
point,
no to.
Yes, that's what I was about to say. At this point, you've gone and worked so hard and made 84 the 85 on your own. Don't you think your dad would give you the 85 cents?
Or ask
at that
your
point?
Mom. You know, she's a soft touch.
And she's been saving up. So, like,
mom,
she's
well, absolutely. Her saving up is a secret, so you wouldn't know.
Well,
that,
I know, but I'm just saying, like, she would have given him 85 cents to stay out of jail. And he's been working hard. And
right.
Everyone recognizes
he's going,
that.
He's going
like,
to debtor's prison.
And then it's a misbeat from the first film where, like, he gets in the fight and she keeps it a secret from the dad.
Yeah, right. Like, oh, that's right.
You know, like, he could have been like, look, mom, here's what happened, and I need a dollar. We did all this work and we're so close.
I forgot about the fight.
And that would have been like a touching moment.
Yeah.
But instead,
we go the other way.
Yeah. Oh, did you say that would have been a good decision? Because
yes.
We had this talk. That,
yes.
That,
no, I know.
They actually didn't make those in this.
Right. I just like to mock them in their failures.
So just to be clear, according to inflation from 1946 dollars, loaning them $1 would be the equivalent of loaning $12. I think you'd probably loan your kid $12 to keep him out of jail.
I don't know. They need to be taught a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, I will say, which kid? Yeah. My dad has always said, he's like, don't call me. If you ever get put, if you ever get locked up, don't. Like when I was younger, like now I could probably get away with it.
But
when I was younger,
it just made me so mad when they got so close and they acted like, oh, he's going to jail now with his 84. So first of all, I don't know how they made the $84.
They never explained that.
Absolutely no sense mathematically.
No. So it's what just, ta-da, we solved our problem.
Right. So what he decides
because
to
remember,
do.
This is almost $1,000, right?
Oh,
in our money, right?
For sure.
So if the kids made what is the equivalent of maybe a couple $100 of these odd jobs,
he's slinging that hemp.
So somehow they found in couch cushions the equivalent of what would be 800 of today's dollars.
Well, they
just
were breaking
around
into people's couches, like just breaking into people's
they
homes.
Didn't say that.
And like,
were they the wet bandits?
They were the wet. I'm telling you, this is a Marv origin story.
Marvin Harry.
He has learned from his father.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want to be frugal. He just wants all the money, so he decides to become Marv.
Yeah. So he ends up. How
does that time work out?
Yeah,
it might. I mean, you figure if he's 40 and
first one came out like 89 or 90.
Yeah.
40. Oh.
Just saying.
So
you could make the argument.
So what is, doesn't he end up getting the other dollar?
No. So what
from
he does,
the kid, doesn't the kid have money in his pocket?
No. So
hiding,
what he does
or?
Is he,
Schwartz has a lucky dollar.
Right.
Yeah, he does.
And and so there's hijinks as they try to wrestle for the dollar.
Right.
And then he gets the dollar.
Somebody ends up in their
and
underwear.
Also, yeah. Well, and also, I couldn't figure out who is a bigger asshat at this point. Because, like, okay, you've got this lucky dollar, but your friend is in this zany world that they've created going to go to jail. So, like, you're not going to give him your dollar. And then on the other hand, it's like, you're stealing this person's money and not even, like, saying thank you. Like, he like, wrestles him, takes the money. He's like, I got it. And he leaves.
He takes off.
I'm like, your friend just kept you out of jail. And he acts like it's his right to steal his money. Like, it was just a very weird interaction. I'm like, these
people
anything
about today's current climate.
Yeah.
Anyway,
people are terrible. So he's
so
walking.
He walks and he sees the kid.
At what time of day is the guy at the car dealership? At like midnight?
Well,
on Christmas Eve?
No, I mean,
well, yeah, because you sell a lot of cars on Christmas Eve, so you got to be there for that last minute rush.
I mean,
Christmas Eve is a big car,
especially
so.
In post-war.
Because
America.
We are recording this though at 6:44 in the evening, and it's dark outside now.
I'm just saying, it's Christmas Eve, which usually people are closed a little early or the half the day, whatever. And it's dinner time.
Scrooge didn't let Bob leave early. Oh, he did. He was like 20 minutes early.
Yeah. So I'm just like, okay, why is he walking there? This like, maybe this could wait till the 26th.
No, got to do it now.
Oh, okay.
So he goes and he sees the homeless kid who was asking for a tire. And
God,
I guess he was a tire to burn. I guess that's what it was. Yeah, I don't know.
What was
they
the purpose?
Never explained what that tire was. Yeah,
I thought it was going to be like his dad's car was broken.
Right,
but then they're homeless.
So they're homeless people living in an alley. So clearly he needs a tire.
What the hell is he going to do with a tire?
I have no idea.
The kid is stupid.
Well, maybe
a dumb gift. You should ask for a car. How about a car? Not just one piece of it.
Maybe at this time, maybe in this, you know, the mid 40s, maybe like pushing a tire down the road with a stick is the ultimate entertainment. I don't know. Did they push the tire with the stick back then?
Man.
Was that a thing?
You have no idea how good my day was today. Oh yeah, what'd you do today? Man, I pushed it out of that tire with a stick. Yeah. It was wonderful.
It rolled for like three blocks.
Oh man,
falling.
And then it went downhill. I thought I was screwed. I didn't.
Then
think
I got
I'd see
in
it, again. It, and then it bounced. It was amazing.
So yeah,
took
I
out
don't,
some
so,
old lady.
So again, the right like the situation makes no sense.
No, none. So what he did, of course, to recreate the Chinese dinner scene, he takes the family out for Chinese dinner.
But not only does he take the family of like two or three of them, I'm pretty sure that table has 10 people at it.
Yeah, I mean,
where did those
like
people come
all
from?
All the homeless people.
He took, like, and we didn't see like a party of 15 of them in the alley. We see two people in the
right,
alley,
right.
Then we see 10 people at dinner.
And he has to spend like almost $40
I did
dinner,
actually. His
Which
his,
means that he sp- that was like a $500 Chinese
on Chinese
dinner.
Food.
On
First
Chinese
of all,
food.
Nowadays, I could feed 10 people for $30 yeah, at the Chinese food place. What was he spending the equivalent of $500?
I thought
you, if you spend $500 at a Chinese restaurant,
you bought the Chinese
you
restaurant.
You own your own geisha girl. Like, that's how that works.
You have eaten sushi off a nude woman.
To be fair, we don't know what the dad asked for Christmas.
That's true. But I think it was like his
second leg.
Hey, oh. I thought his explanation was funny, where he was just like, I was taken out to dinner and then they didn't order off the menu. They just went a la carte and I didn't know what to do. And I was like, a la carte. That was kind of funny. That was the shining moment of this movie.
My God, homeless people are such pagans. Such pagans.
Well, okay, now.
Like, you're selfish. Like you're already
also,
homeless. They're giving you free dinner.
Just get the combination plate. Why are you getting a la carte? What are you
it's
doing?
Like $5.
Well, and here's the other thing.
Nowadays, yeah.
This is presented as this big heartwarming scene. Like, you fed them for a night.
Yeah.
Do you know what that family could have done with $40
right.
in 1946?
If it's the equivalent of $500, like, why did you not give them $500?
Yeah, just give them, right. Just give them the money.
Yeah.
Because the old man's going to spend it on booze.
Because it's a sweeter scene, and they got to show us the Chinese restaurant.
Chinese
again,
restaurant,
right?
But
yeah,
do you know how
exactly
much booze he could have bought for $40 back then?
All kinds of Mad Dog. Just rocking that
Mad
Dog 2020.
It was just so misguided
it was bad
in their
so,
attempts.
So he goes to the guy, and the guy, he's like, look, this is all I got. And the guy's like, oh, man, you know, paid. Merry Christmas.
No, and this,
you worked
and this
so
guy's
hard.
Like, oh, my gosh, you tried. Yay.
I sold the car to some sucker.
Some sucker. Guess what? The sucker's your dad.
Right.
Yeah. You know? So he doesn't say that.
But it is his
it
dad.
It is his dad.
So essentially he just paid the equivalent of $1,000.
On a car they just bought.
Yeah. So who's the sucker?
I mean, did he give the guy the $40?
Yeah.
The dad bought it, and he gave the guy the $40,
yeah,
which is
right.
$500 of our dollars.
Yes.
Correct.
Correct.
What an asshole.
Welcome to car dealerships.
Well, you know what? To be fair, they have been running that scam.
Since he was three.
I mean, they've been running that scam on at least 12 different cars since in the last 15 years.
Yeah.
So
Ralphie goes home. They eat the fish that they caught.
Yeah.
Which,
The dad couldn't catch a fish, so I guess maybe they did flip the script of the mom keeping a secret, because then
that's
the mom
true.
Bring surprises them with fish. They're all sitting at the table, and the dad's like dejected because he didn't catch a fish. Like, well, one, and so he's surprised when she presents him with a fish. Like, your dad caught this fish, and so here's I have two questions about this.
Yeah,
one,
yes.
What did he think they were going to eat for dinner?
What did they think they're waiting on?
Two, how could he not smell her cooking fish?
Right, a whole fish. It's not like fish fillet. Like
a head.
It was the whole fish.
Also,
that fish isn't going to feed four people.
And like an 800 square foot house, that place is going to smell like.
It was ridiculous.
That place is going to smell like a Chechen hooker.
No,
for the next 6 weeks.
Again, this is just the most awful writing. Because I thought the same thing. Like, they're all at the dinner with a place setting, and the mom's in the kitchen. Like, what?
All I could think. Did you ever see that Disney? There's a short Mickey Mouse cartoon That was Mickey, Goofy, and Donald, and they were going to go. They end up going to fight like Jack, the the giant.
Yeah, Jack.
And they're cutting the bean,
and they're cutting the bean, and it's like you could see through the piece of
It was so thin.
That's what I was like. That's they're going to cut a piece of bread. Be like, this is your slice.
Yeah, I'm just like, why?
It was bad.
And then here it is, this fish that's going to feed four people. Okay, right. That wouldn't feed one normal person.
That would feed one person. But if you're feeding a family,
but like
and also I watch Chopped. I watch Hell's Kitchen. I watch Alabaster Chef. And I was like, did you pick the bones out of that?
Didn't look like it.
No, because you're going to kill your family. One of that bones going to get stuck in that six-year-old's throat.
So did you see how much money the mom was saving?
No.
Essentially 30. I mean, I could see at least like $30 or something.
Yeah.
The turkey was $3. I'm thinking, why didn't you just go buy the damn turkey? I know you're trying to make this statement, whatever, with the fish, but I'm like, that's a crappy dinner.
But he would know. He would be like, where'd you get the money for the turkey?
Oh, that's true.
She'd have to out herself.
Yeah. That's a good point.
It's just weird that they showed her saving up all this money and she bought a piece of fish. Like, what a crappy Christmas dinner.
But
I know it was to make him, it seemed like he provided
it. But she spent the money on something else.
That's true.
Oh.
That's true.
No, wait a minute. She didn't spend the money on that.
Yeah. Where did it come from?
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
But she was all like surprised by it.
Oh, she was kind of disgusted by it.
No, she was disgusted by it. It wasn't her.
So did Ralphie
must have bought it.
The furnace.
Oh, she bought a new furnace?
Yeah, she did.
They get the new furnace.
Yeah, they do get a new furnace.
Oh, I missed that.
I assume that's where the furnace came from.
That makes sense.
Oh.
I was with you, though. Yeah.
Because they get a brand new furnace, and that's like, you know.
Yeah.
So it's Christmas morning now.
But the new furnace was there was not $400 in that can. There was like $40.
I'm sorry, Kevin. I thought we were saying this movie didn't make good decisions.
I'm just saying, like, her savings was enough to buy that turkey, was my point. Right. She could not afford a $400 furnace. And when did they you think on Christmas Eve they've got guys just
installing? They do. You're just going to pay for it.
You're going to pay for it.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, so Christmas morning comes and the little brother gets a spaceman thing.
Buck Rogers,
which I thought was like, all right, timing. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, Buck Rogers was certainly on the radio back then, but I will also say that, like,
Superman, I feel kids
really weren't up into space until the 50s.
Right, and I think, and I mean, I'm not to say that because I'm a comic nerd, but, like, Superman in the 40s...
It would have made more sense for him to be...
Superman, Captain America...
Especially when your movie's made by Warner Brothers.
Thank you.
Like,
thank
you. I just... Like
you got it. Like you don't have to pay anything.
Well, what do we?
Hey,
might own Buck Rogers too, though.
Even they draw the line. Even though this Warner Premiere, whatever, is like part of Warner Brothers.
They're like,
hey, can we use Superman? I know it's not doing so hot. They're like, not in this piece of crap.
Don't sully Superman with your Christmas story too.
Just referencing that real quick. Isn't it funny that they have allowed him to show up on Supergirl? Like that is mind-boggling to me, and I'm not in a bad way. Like
they're A-lister.
That dude is great.
Show.
Like that dude is awesome. If you haven't seen those episodes of him as Superman, they're fantastic.
But the fact that they're running these two universes and Superman is on a TV show,
and it's just like how long is this going to take before they're just like, you know what, the movies we're just going to TV.
So, and then the big surprise is that Ralphie goes to the Christmas tree and there's a car.
Well, they do the joke about the
aunt sends another embarrassing outfit, but now it's for Randy.
Yeah.
And it's a sailor outfit, let's recycle that joke.
Right. And then, they're standing by the Christmas tree and Daniel Stern's like, all I could think of was the scene in Death Proof where Rosario Dawson is telling the story about Zoe Bell taking the picture and she's just like a little farther and like she falls off a cliff or whatever but she's like just scoot a little closer and then Ralphie turns and he looks and there's keys on the Christmas tree and he goes outside and of course
it's his
this
dream
is
car.
The Back to the Future ending
of
part one where like Marty walks outside
or Grease.
But Marty walks outside, right? And he opens the garage and there's the truck. Yeah. The truck that he's been fawning for the entire movie.
But the thing is that there is no way in hell this dad
could afford that car.
Or would have bought that car. Especially for a first time drive. No way in hell.
What was your first car?
My first car was a 72 AMC Gremlin.
Oh, what was yours?
1991 Toyota Corolla.
78 Oldsmobile Delta 88. There's no way.
Even though that dad is like the Grinch whose heart grew 10 sizes that day, there's no way
even
you'd buy
the Darren
that car.
McGavin version, his heart only grew like
I think his heart grew was like, I think I took that as the dad was like, boys get BB guns.
Yeah,
get over.
Right.
And
exactly.
If they shoot their eye out, then we call them
I do
one
like the,
eye.
Oh, my God.
The roof
I shot my eye out.
The roof of that car cost $85.
Yes. Right.
You think the roof of that car was our equivalent of $1,000.
Yes.
You think the dad is a Christmas present for his turning 16 birthday bought him that car.
No.
There's no there's just nothing about his character or personality says that he would surprise his kid with a gift that extravagant.
The story of the entire thing is like he's skimping on all of this stuff so he can buy him that car.
But they never tell you that.
Yeah. So he gets the car.
There's no way I believe he even has that money. That family can't afford an extra car for a 16-year-old.
No.
Like, it just, nothing about that makes logical
sense. When did that switch? Like,
where
kids started getting cars?
As like, gifts?
Well, I mean, as like, your 16-year-old needs to have a car.
I don't know. I think you started seeing teenagers with cars like in the 50s. You certainly wouldn't have seen it coming right out of World War II. They wouldn't have had the money.
Right.
My dad passed away, I guess, about two years ago. And
wait a minute. Your dad passed away while we were doing this show?
Yeah.
Shit.
Remember, he mentioned it, and we didn't know, and he's like, yeah.
Begawk! I didn't know. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah. And,
oh,
good
Lord.
And so he was like 78, so he would have been about the age of Ralph.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, my dad hated A Christmas Story.
Oh, really?
I showed it to him like right after it came out on home video. I was like, I think you'll really like this movie. He's like, that movie's awful. He's like, that's not what the 40s were like at all. Like, he's like, couldn't stand it.
Interesting.
And my dad, and this is not a skill I possess, my dad, he made his first car.
He went
to the junkyard. My dad was really good with mechanical things, which is not a talent I possess at all in any way, shape, or form.
Gift of gab, man.
I got that. That's
what you got.
And but my dad made a car. He found two cars at the junkyard, different makes and models, and assembled them into one working car.
I think I saw that on Tricked Out or whatever that exhibit show.
I'm like, and so like, you know, so you can imagine growing up in that household when my dad's like, you know, hand me a socket wrench and he gets a screwdriver, you know, and he's, you know, and this guy's like, I built a car. He built a boat.
Right,
we had a houseboat as a kid that crazy son of a bitch built. He built a fucking houseboat.
That's,
like, wrap your head around
that's
that.
Unbelievable.
Like, and
that's
I'm
crazy
like,
awesome is what that means.
Yeah, but I'm like, I can't do that. I can't build a model of a houseboat. I can maybe
I don't have the dexterity in my fingers.
Yeah, like, no.
Those little pieces and those things, those cars and boats and things you have to assemble, you know, those little models you buy at the Hobby Lobby.
Yeah,
right.
Dude, those things are impossible to put together.
Yeah,
like, you have to have a little magnifying glass.
And let me just make clear, it wasn't a kit. He didn't buy a kit.
He just bought raw materials.
He just bought the stuff and built a boat.
Wow.
What the hell?
What?
Yeah.
I have a big comic book collection.
Yeah. That's an extravagant gift,
right?
By any stretch of the imagination, but especially for this guy in that time, don't buy it at all.
Yeah.
And then, of course, so he goes out in the driveway.
He's
and of course,
waxing the car.
We've got a which luckily was not a euphemism.
No, it's not. He's literally waxing a car.
He hits the thing and it starts to roll out of the driveway because, like when he uses the gun, something has to go wrong.
Right,
got to recycle that.
Right. So it's rolling. He's trying to push it, and then he's like, "Oh, I stopped it!" And the camera pans, and there's Priscilla, and we have to reference at one point. While he was at the department store, this guy knock over the
Salvation Army
guy, which I guess they couldn't call the Salvation Army bell ringer. This guy, the $5 kind of floats away. Ralphie goes after it. This guy picks it up and he's like, "Hey man, you stole that $5." And he's like, "You called me a liar." Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Yes." And he gets punched. And then
how he gives up the money after he punches him.
Why did he just walk away with it?
Why did he punch him and then give it to
that
him?
He's the bully with a heart of gold.
Yeah.
I guess he's like, you know what? I'm gonna punch you in the mouth, but you're right, kid.
Here's the $5.
That's for your gumption.
Yeah.
So then she kind of gives him the nod and a wink, and then it gets dismissed. So there she is again, holding the car this time, and she's like, "Put the emergency brake on, you idiot."
Yeah.
And then she's like, "My dad always said put the car in gear when you park it," and I was like, "How does that work? Park is a gear."
No, there is no park. It's a manual.
Yeah,
you
not
have
a manual.
To put it in
gear. Stick shift.
First, second, third.
Yeah. I got you.
There's no such thing as a park on manual.
I was just like, what are you talking
about? It's just
gears. Okay. Yeah. That
makes
more sense.
If you put it in gear,
sense.
It can only go forward.
Got it. Yeah, I got you. So then they, you know, they kind of, I was like, that was dumb.
And she's like, I broke up with my boyfriend.
Okay.
I broke up with a successful high school jock.
How would you like that, your first hand job for Christmas? Would I?
There is, what universe did she break up with the high school football captain to date Ralphie?
Because she realized.
Who jizzed on her in band class.
Yeah.
What universe? The creepy kid with the
drum. You know what would have been better is if, like, she had gotten her hair cut. Like, she had to cut her hair because...
And he was, and then he was like, I'm not really feeling
it. You know
it.
What? That should have been the tongue stuck to the pole thing.
Yeah.
Him getting stuck to the back of her head.
Oh, man. That should have been... Now we're in a Farley Brothers movie at this point. So they kind of have, you know, their moment, and then it's credits. And it's... Man.
Couldn't come soon enough.
It couldn't.
One hour and a half of the long...
I couldn't believe it was... I could not believe this was... I saw the time, and I was like... Hour and 25 minutes.
Like, what the heck?
God, this is going to be awful. And I was right.
Yeah, and
luckily, I had my newborn sitting on my, like, sleeping on my chest. So I would, like, look down at her every once in a while. I was like, oh, this isn't so bad.
Yeah.
And then I go back to it. I was like, oh, damn it.
God, what a brutally awful movie.
Okay, so I just found that the price of that car new in 19...
What was it? What was it called? The Mercury
8 or something?
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, the Mercury 8. So the price of a new one would have been approximately...
In 1945 or today?
I got the numbers for 1949, but I have to imagine that
they said it was a 38.
They did.
I remember
that. Yeah, yeah.
It was a It was that old.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but in 49, it cost between 1950 and 2500, depending on the options.
So it was probably a $200 to $400 car by then.
Yeah.
Really? You think it was down to $200 to $400?
I mean, you're talking a car at that point that is 7 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds
And he said
right.
It had 120,000 miles on it.
But
that
still,
was a lot for a car.
But still,
they didn't last.
But
like
he was still buying him a car that was the price of the furnace that he wouldn't.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I was just trying to figure out, like, how much did he spend on this car?
You're really concerned about the money in this movie.
I'm just a numbers person, but I'm like, this doesn't make sense
to
me.
And the other thing I want to point out is it keeps showing on the screen, he keeps walking by a theater that's showing It's a Wonderful Life.
It
came out in 1946, but it did not open in wide release until January 7th of 1947. So, no.
Way to go, dunce.
It opened, like, on December 20th, it opened in, like, New York and L.A. The next week, I think it opened in Minneapolis, and then... And then it didn't open anywhere else until after the first
that's
year.
That's weird. It tanked, right?
Like not do well when it came out initially.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Right. So
there it is.
There's your Christmas present from us to you.
Merry Christmas.
A Christmas Story too. So I guess let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find
this. This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
Yeah, this is Kevin. You can follow me. This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. And I apologize if you heard me coughing throughout I was getting a physical the entire time. I really like that part. No, I'm sickly and I'm getting over.
Oh, there's Blake.
I'm getting over bronchitis. So I still powered through.
You did.
You did.
Like a champ.
So I've
well done.
If you hear me hacking in the background, I apologize. So, but anyway, so back to the wrap up. If you want to follow the show on Twitter If you want to follow the show on Twitter at Real Spoilers, or you can find us online at facebook.com/Real Spoilers, where you can join the League of Show Sharers. Don't forget, go to iTunes, rate, review, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it and helps us tremendously. So, that's your special Christmas episode. We will be back next week with your regularly scheduled programming. Until then, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus.
You little jerk. Look what you did.
You're helpless. You're an idiot.
You're what the French call les incompetents.
Kevin, you're such a disease.
Should ask that for a new family.
I don't want a new family. I don't want any family.
Then say it again. Maybe it'll happen.
I hope I never see any jerks again.
I wish they would all just disappear.
I made my family disappear.
I made my family.
I made my family disappear.
Disappear.
Cheese pizza just for me.
It's going through all your stuff, huh? You better compound me.
I'm watching rubbish, being junk, you better come out.
There can't be a link on the meaning of a house.
Take a shower, washing is actual soap.
All the major crevices in between my toes and in my belly button, which I never did before, but sort of enjoy.
I'm not afraid anymore.
Can't seem to find a toothbrush or a pick one up today.
Other than that, I'm in good shape.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
And I just want